was there. Yeah, is that okay? So this practice is concerned with what it means to be awake, what it means to be in touch with, be open to, and be responsive to the truth of our experience. To come to see clearly what it is that's taking place, how it is we are touched, moved, how it is we respond, and what serves our well-being, what serves our life in that response. And as a foundation for this practice, we are turning towards and inviting ourselves to more and more fully inhabit a sense of being present, where we are, noticing and being aware of how easily we can spend our lives lost in stories, fantasies, memories of the past and thoughts of the future. And these memories of the past, these thoughts of the future, sometimes have for us a sense of meaning, of significance, of power or reality that leads us to feel that this is really what our life is defined by, what it was and what it may be. When in truth our life is much more about what is here right now. And of course what is here right now is affected by what was, and in turn affects what will be. But the present moment is the place in which we can discover what it means to live with openness, with freedom, with love. And so this is the place that we're interested in. This is the dimension, we could say, which we give our attention to in this practice. So the forms and the tools that we employ are in the service of this, in the service of wakefulness. And this wakefulness is not something distant or removed from our life, but very much an expression of its deepest nature. And to engage in this journey is to engage in something challenging and yet also noble. I think Spinoza it was who said, "All truly noble human endeavors are as rare as they are challenging." And to seek to awaken the heart and the mind is a noble endeavor. Perhaps we could understand it as the most noble undertaking of our human lives. Certainly to awaken for the welfare and out of concern for the well-being of all that lives. This is nobility indeed, and to seek this equally noble and yet challenging, demanding, not at all easy. For those of you new to this situation, being on retreat, you probably already have some intimation of that. That doesn't mean that it must be so. Sometimes it seems rather easy and smooth. And yet there's a certain courage asked of us in this willingness to be awake. A certain good-hearted, warm-hearted courage to know that we undertake something challenging out of the most wholesome of intentions, our own well-being. This is a wholesome intention, to seek our own well-being and to serve and support the well-being of others in doing so. So in the meditation, we turn towards what's immediate, what's available, what's accessible to us. We begin with the body, sitting down. We call it sitting meditation. It's sitting because of the shape of our body. The posture our body assumes makes this sitting. And in the sitting, it's fine to be using a chair. You don't get extra points for sitting cross-legged or appearing to sort of express your posture in the same way as some classical statue of the Buddha sitting in full lotus. You can be sitting on a bench, on a cushion, or I sit on a couple of yoga blocks. Different things work for different people. What is important is that you have a sense of your ground. There's a way in which you're connected to the earth, to something that is substantial, firm, solid, and supportive. And for us, as human beings, the earth is this. We walk upon it, we live upon it. And just as you sit right now, feeling what it's like that the weight of your body rests into the ground, that the firmness of the ground, in a way, pushes up through the seat or the cushion to meet you. And equally so where your feet may touch the ground if you're in a chair, or your knees, legs if you're on the floor. Noticing what it's like to make contact with just that simple, ordinary sense of solidity, firmness. It's like so often we're trying to hold ourselves up in life. I feel a lot of energy, a lot of tension rising in the body. Talk about things coming up in the mind. It's like this movement towards being in the head. And here there's an invitation to just gently reverse that, turn back, allow the attention to come down, to drop, to release, to relax, and to land in the body, on the earth. And with that sense of earthing and landing in that way, then turning the attention to the uprightness of the body. Sitting posture is established by being on the ground and upright. And just feeling what that's like for the pelvis to be upright and the spine rising up from it. In terms of supporting the posture, it's usually important for the pelvis to be higher, or certainly not lower than the knees. If the knees are above the pelvis, the lower back has to work very hard, and the abdomen work very hard to stay upright. So it can be useful just to gently tilt, just ever so slightly, the pelvis forward at the top. And that supports this gentle curve in the lower back, allows the posture to be upright without unnecessary effort. And inflating the chest on that gently curved lower back. Just having a sense of allowing the chest and the shoulders to be open. So the shoulder blades are gently heading south, moving down the back. Sense of the torso feeling open, soft, relaxed. And the neck, a little attention to the neck, feeling the sense of its uprightness, and allowing the head to be light on the shoulders rather than heavy. Just by sensing the space above your head, allowing it to occupy that space. Giving yourself room to be here, beginning with your body, giving it space and support and care. The body is not to be disregarded, but really deeply respected here. It is the place we practice, and in which much of the practice unfolds. So it's worth taking a little care with this. Now later in the morning, perhaps speak a bit more about posture, but for now, it's useful if the knees aren't sort of floating in the air. So if they don't touch the ground, many of you, if you find your knees don't touch the ground, it would be useful to experiment with getting a cushion or a blanket or something and placing it under your knees so it's supported. So there's again a sense of contact with the earth. And then when we're grounded and upright, when we're in touch with the earth, and equally the sky, we can allow ourselves to relax. And just noticing where there may be tension held in the face, around the eyes or the jaw, take a moment to release or to allow, invite that to release. You can't force it to go away. Don't push it. Don't put pressure on your experience. This is an instruction for all things. Don't put pressure on any experience. And yet seeing that we can invite, we can allow a softening, a gentling, an opening. So around the eyes and the jaw, or maybe the back of the head, the neck, the shoulders, where you might notice tension. As you breathe out, just inviting a softening, a releasing. Likewise, in the allowing the chest to be open, the belly soft, so the breath can flow naturally, just as it does in the body. And taking a few gently deeper breaths, not forcing yourself or overextending the breath, but just gently deeper. And holding the breath for a moment as you breathe, once you've filled your lungs, then breathing out. You may notice there's something just a little enjoyable about breathing fully. And allowing yourself, if that's so, to enjoy it. If it feels that there's pressure or tension on the breathing, don't fight with it. Just find the breath and the flow within what is comfortably possible for you in taking a few deeper breaths. And giving attention to the whole experience of breathing in and breathing out. It may be that particular aspects of the experience stand out to you, or locations in your body are more clear, where you feel the breathing. But don't too quickly narrow the attention down to one place or one aspect. Allow there to be a sense of openness, and yet, where it's most clear, really connecting deeply, fully entering into that experience. Not some idea or image or thought about the experience, but directly feeling the sensations, the vibrations, what it is in your body that tells you that the breathing is taking place. So it's an experiential knowing, not a thinking about. No need to evaluate or analyze the experience of breathing. There's no right or wrong, no good or bad we need to be concerned with here. Just breathing that breathes. And noticing it breathes by itself. There's nothing you need to do to make it happen. Your practice is simply to be present, to be interested, to be open to this experience. And in this way we use the breathing as a ground and as a foundation for our attention and for our lives, as a mirror which reflects to us much of our experience. So as we pay attention to the breathing, using it in this way, we'll find at times the attention is drawn to some other experience. This is natural, this is what happens. Do not regard this as either good or bad, but simply experience that happens. And when it happens, to notice the attention has moved to a sound, perhaps the air conditioner, the cat outside, our neighbor moving, or sounds from the local village, or vehicles, or this voice that you hear right now. Just a sound. There's no problem. Sound is not an obstacle or a distraction, and in fact can be included in the meditation. We will speak more about this, but for now, with sound, just to notice. Likewise, experiences in the body, elsewhere, that are not the breathing. Thoughts or images that may come to the mind, simply notice that they occur. If you feel or discover yourself lost in them, not to judge or in any way criticize yourself for this, but to acknowledge what's happened and then being clear that the intention is to be present, to not be lost in thinking. And so re-establishing that mindful, attentive connection with the experience of breathing, sitting right here as you are. And so there's a balance here between a clear intentionality and direction, that we orient ourselves wholeheartedly towards deepening this quality of presence, mindful awareness, using the breath and the posture of the body as the foundation, while at the same time not resisting, not struggling with whatever might arise, allowing things that come to come, but releasing them, not taking hold of them, not pushing them, nor pursuing them. And in this way we can learn what it means to be more and more fully present and awake. What it means to receive our experience moment to moment, and equally to release it, to let it go, again and again. If you find your body becomes uncomfortable after a period of sitting still, this is quite normal. In most cases, it's quite fine to stay with that experience a little. And if it feels like it really needs for you to make some adjustment of your posture, that's okay. But not to move just because there's a little sensation of discomfort, nor to feel like you somehow aren't allowed to move, and that's against the rules. But there's a balance between just reacting to each experience on the one hand, which perhaps we're used to doing, always moving away from the uncomfortable, between a balance between this tendency to react, which isn't so helpful, and seeing that nonetheless we can still respond when it feels appropriate. It's not that we're here to battle with our bodies. And sometimes making a mindful, sensitive change in the posture is just as important, knowing when to do this, as it is important to also at times be able to be steady in the face of something that's a little challenging. And so this no one can tell us how to do. We need to find for ourselves. something else I'd like to suggest to you that I find very helpful in working with drowsiness or tiredness, something that probably a few of us are already encountering, not unusual. Tiredness or drowsiness, when it comes, requires an active response. It's not useful just to say drowsy and notice that we're drowsy and then fall asleep, because we are here to be awake. And if you want to be awake, there is a really simple solution. I'd like to invite you all just now, first of all, notice your hands, and then notice your shoulders. Whether or not you're feeling drowsy in this moment, with your attention in your hands, your arms, and your shoulders, very slowly lift them up. You can keep your eyes closed or open them if you wish. And just notice what it's like as your elbows get above your shoulders. They don't have to be straight up, but they can be. Notice what happens as you just stretch your arms up in the air. It requires a little bit of effort. The mind can't make itself necessarily get more alert. But by making an effort with the body, and if you keep your arms up here for a little while, you see it's a little bit of an effort. The effort that the mind can instruct the body to make brightens the mind. And if you hold your arms for a little while up here, you'll see that, in fact, the brightness of the energy comes back up to the mind. There are almost no guarantees in meditation. Almost anything can happen, it seems. But I will guarantee you that you won't fall asleep with your arms held in the air. It's true. Once you put them back down, you might again. So if you're drowsy, work with this. If you want to be awake, it's really useful. And there's something about lifting the elbows above the shoulders that just opens up the shoulders. And often tightness in the you can put your arms down now if you wish. Often tightness in the shoulders, which we naturally tend to accumulate, closes the energy channels and the movement of energy so that the mind, the consciousness, starts to fade out. So if you find yourself nodding at all, open your eyes, sit up straight. And if that's not helping, arms in the air for a little while. See what happens. And so now, sitting together quietly. Body upright, at ease, resting on the earth. Giving attention to the whole experience of breathing in and breathing out, breath by breath, moment by moment. reconnecting, relaxing into this breath, this moment, right here. this practice serve and support our well-being and the welfare of all beings. Please take a moment if you wish to bring ease to your body, if it needs that. You need to move or adjust some. So I'd just like to ask at this time if there's any questions anyone has arising from the meditation instructions or with regard to your posture, and if anyone's struggling particularly with regard to that, feel free to let me know and to ask.